Okay, I'm going to give you a real quick PSA. Do not have your Google Chrome set up to auto update. It'll fuck you up. In the garage, I'm Corey Cope.
I'm Freddie Woff.
After many, 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 many tech issues.
Tech.
We have March 25th, 2024 Kickstarter for you. Is this our fourth one?
Yeah, man. Oh my God, it's almost over.
What a fucking weird month, dude.
Yeah, fucking March. Beware the Ides of March. The Ides of March were fucking with us this morning.
March Madness.
Yeah, dude, my bracket busted fucking day one. Fuck Kentucky.
Speaking of broken brackets, so last week for March Madness,
we broke the bracket with bitch slap.
Tubi coming through with flying colors with bitch slap. Bitch slap. I can't say any more about it, but just go listen to it. Or maybe watch them. I don't know, man. Is this one of those ones you can tell people to watch the movie? This is what we say in the episode. A select few would get the recommendations from either one of us because it's not for everybody, that's for sure.
Yeah, man. But, you know, it could be for everybody. Who knows? It just depends on who everybody is.
Yeah. Everybody on your couch.
Yeah, man.
Holy crap. So this will be the last one for the month because a week from today is the 1st of April. That's crazy.
Yeah, man. Yeah, mm-hmm. Next Monday, April 1.
April 1. Can't believe it's fucking far into the year already.
Yeah, man. It's almost over.
It's almost over. Anyway, so tomorrow, the 26th, we got some good stuff. Like, To Die For is finally coming. I think we mentioned that like two or three times over the last couple of months.
Yeah, right? I think we were, because it's been coming out for a while. I think they were hawking it when I went and saw Drugstore Cowboy.
The
double feature. 4K. The double feature, yeah. They were, because they
did the Criterion Peeps.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, man.
There's some good stuff this week.
Unlike last week.
Yeah, last week was weird, but this week again, they've been pretty good about lately. Paramount Pictures is dropping another Paramount Presents, number 43 this time, with Richard Gere in Primal Fear.
Richard Gere, Primal Fear, the movie that made Ed Norton a household name.
Wow, stop making me edit. Oh yeah, I'm running 3 minutes in, I have to edit now.
I like Primal Fear. Who directed Primal Fear again? I forget.
Fear was Gregory
Hoblit.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah, Gregory Hoblit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also did Fallen, right?
Did he?
I think so. Sounds right. Smells right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Frequency. Oh my gosh, dude. He's a Cop Rock alum.
Cop Rock. Dude, who doesn't love Cop Rock? You know who doesn't love Cop Rock? Liars.
Liars. Hearts War, too. Yay, Bruce Willis.
Oh, that's with him and Colin Farrell?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. One of those Bruce Willis movies that kind of...
Yeah, you're thinking of Enemies of the Sun.
Tears of the Sun.
Tears of the Sun, too?
Yes, yes.
That's an enemy on your eyes.
All of it.
You know what's rad, dude, is Gregory Hoblit, he did that vampire movie.
Which one?
The Boschko one. I don't know, he didn't direct it. What did he have? Oh, he produced it. That's what it was. Dude, I love that fucking thing. It was so good.
Yeah, man.
Richard Lynch was in it and everything, and E.G. Marshall.
Right.
Catherine Harold. Yeah, dude, that was a rad. I think it was a series, wasn't it? No, it was a movie.
Nah, it was like a...
Because that's back when ABC used to do that. Used to have those Sunday night movies or whatever.
Yes.
Now they got football.
Yes.
No,
for some reason.
Oh, actually, it's Monday night.
But it's called ESPN now. That's why they don't show movies. So Primal Fear and what else? There's some other things coming out too. I saw. Did you see those things from Imprint that are coming out, dude? They're putting out there's a fucking White Sands, dude.
Is that on there really?
White Sands is part of this this neo noir box set.
Their sub box, right?
Yeah.
Dude, look at there's a lot of shit dropping today.
Crazy shit.
Or tomorrow.
crazy shit.
I mean, seriously, there's like, you know, there's some, I always talked about, like, if you ever won the lottery tour, you could just literally order everything or never worry about what you ordered. You look at this release day, there's so much going on here. I don't know if I'd order like half of this stuff. Did you see this? Oh my God, they're releasing The Crow Salvation.
Yeah. Is that the second one?
No.
That's like the third one or so.
Yeah, but they haven't gotten into like Nutty. This is one with Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, Eric Mobius and Kirsten Dunst. That one's bad. That one's not good. Still better than the Furlong one.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We didn't get that far. And see, it's funny how we say it's Furlong, but it's also, dude, David Boreanaz is in. Yeah.
And Tito Ortiz.
Show Factory release on this. But they're limiting it to only 1,620 copies.
They think they can sell that many?
Well, maybe they're generating a demand by saying it's only 620.
Sure.
Yeah. Eric Mobius, Kirsten Dunst. What is this? 2000, right? Yeah, 2000. Wow. There you go.
Well, there you go. Just in time with the new Crow trailer that dropped last week.
Yeah, I still haven't watched it. I don't care.
Me neither. I don't care.
It's like, I enjoyed the original, and that's fine.
I enjoyed the original, and I kind of don't hate the second one.
Dude, I like the second
until
one.
Until I'm watching it.
Yeah, the second one's super moody.
Yeah.
And
Vincent Perez isn't bad.
Yeah, I can watch it, but I got to be in a certain mindset.
Yeah, totally.
It's not just, but then again, I'm like that with the original too.
Dude. I can't do it.
I know. I don't think people outside the business that, you know, that weren't in the business when that happened, when the shooting happened. And I refuse to use the word accident. It's an incident because there's no fucking accident. You know, that shit doesn't happen on a set accidentally. It's just hard when if you've been around it. And dude, like everybody that came into the video store at that time when it happened was also, most of the guys that came into the place, most of the people, I shouldn't say guys, because you know, men and women in the business used to come into our store. There was a, I don't know, dude, it was solemn. People didn't even have to be on the movie, or it's just, it affects the business like across the board. Everyone gets pretty solemn about it. And it was like that for a couple of months after that happened.
Yeah, I didn't even live here then.
Yeah, this is before way before the movie came out. Yeah, it was a weird vibe. But that's the thing that kind of affects me to watch it or not watch it. Joey was asking about, because the new trailer came out, about watching the movie. I'm like, yeah, I mean, you can watch it if you want. You don't want to watch it with me? I'm like, I've seen it enough times, buddy, but it's sad. It's sad to watch, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to watch an Alex, you know, it's funny, like when I want to watch The Crow, I end up watching Dark City instead.
Yeah, because there's nobody died in that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have to deal with the heartbreak of it all. You know, it's weird.
Well, he was so fucking young, dude.
So good, too. I mean, it's weird. And the movie is, his monologues in the movie are fucking make it rough to watch.
I know. He was so young, and everything he was in, you could just see the charisma dripping from him. I think, and I said this on the show before, and I think I said the last time we talked about Brandon Lee, I think he was better than his dad. I don't mean as far as the skill of a martial artist. I just thought he was an actor was meant to act.
I don't think anybody would argue that either.
Yeah. So I preface it because I didn't want to be, you know, I didn't want to take a shot at Bruce.
You don't want to be Tarantino? You don't want to be Tarantino showing?
No, because Bruce is Bruce fucking Lee rad. Beat up
by Brad Pitt.
See, my thing for Bruce Lee goes way past obviously we were all kind of introduced to him. And introduced to Bruce Lee when we were younger, being presented at. Did you know we think it was such a cheat? Have them making say Bruce Lee, like playing like a Bruce Lee all the time. I hated that shit.
Yeah, when I was a kid, it didn't really matter. I watched all those fucking movies.
Like, me too. But they fooled you into thinking he was the other guy.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Always. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know until I was, you know, probably like 15 or 16. I was like, that's not even, you know, whatever, man. Bruce Lee, Bruce Lee. Which one is it? Bruce Leroy?
And then I started reading his book, and then you realize how much more, he's not just some guy on the screen punching and kicking people. He was a really smart man, intelligent man, I'm not going to get into a love fest about Bruce Lee, but he's fucking rad. And Brandon Lee, man, can you imagine where he'd be at right now, 20 years later, 30 years later?
30 years later, man.
The idea that he would be 56 right now, just chewing up roles as a, you know, a fourth billing or fifth billing, and you're like, oh man, Bruce Lee's gonna, Brandon Lee's gonna be in this suite. We missed out on 30 years of that, and I'm just fucking terrible. Anyway,
there you go. Don't watch the new Crow trailer.
Don't watch the. That Amelie Steele book we talked about coming to Walmart is coming out. I mean, we mentioned it so far in advance. I just wanted to like let everybody know that it's this Tuesday.
Order it now, and you might get it by the end of April.
And Netflix did that thing again that they do every once in a while, but they dropped a physical release Netflix for Wednesday.
Oh,
that's
there you go.
Yeah, it's just once again someone's going to ask, why didn't he put out a 4K? I'm like, because the only place you can get a 4K is where? On Netflix, and they can suck you into subscribing just to see it that way, then so be it. Like, I watched it in 4K. It's fine. It's nice, but it's still a streaming version of 4K. So when you see this, the HD version on Blu-ray, I bet you it's probably just as good as the 4K stream you've been watching when you get the physical copy and watch it. That's a big difference because the streaming is 4K is not the same as watching your optical disc in 4K.
Nope, it is not.
No. So if you want to scoop up that Blu-ray that hits, I think it's not too bad price-wise. I don't think, it's streaming for $20, which isn't terrible. I mean, it's still 389 minutes worth of that series. That's a lot of stuff for $20.
A lot of stuff for a show that no one cares about that much.
Don't say every, a lot of people like the show.
Yeah, sure, whatever. I mean,
I'm just saying a lot of people like it just because you don't.
I don't say I didn't like it. I just say I know a lot of people don't like it.
I was indifferent to it.
Yeah, I am indifferent as well. I mean, I wouldn't say I like it.
I love Jenna. She's wonderful. It was just kind of like, do we need this?
Yes.
And then the obviousness of certain other actors showing up. It's just obvious.
It suffers from what most of the Tim Burton movies of the last 25 years suffer from, in my opinion. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, the last good one. Yeah. I mean, we don't need to go down a Tim Burton road.
It would have been more enjoyable. I think if they would have liked most series these days, let a handful of people.
I enjoyed Sabrina way more than I enjoyed Wednesday.
Oh, Sabrina was fucking great.
Yeah. I'm just, that's all.
The way they handled Sabrina across the board is great. They didn't do it as seasons. They did it as parts or chapters, I should say, as if it was coming from a book. I thought that was clever because it was a total twist on the whole thing. You weren't getting you certainly weren't getting what's the best way of putting it? It was more tied to like how Riverdale was. It's more like that dark, moody thing.
Yeah. It was like sections out of a giant graphic novel.
Yeah. Wednesday, as it plays out a lot like Sabrina does.
Well, exactly. So much so that I was just like, fuck, I feel like I've already seen it. That was my biggest complaint with it. I didn't dislike it, but I also was like, I've seen it already.
That was the thing too about what made Sabrina so good and where I think Wednesday is lacking. I mean, yes, I know it's called Wednesday, but the other show was called Sabrina, but we were seeing the supporting cast on Sabrina was so good. And every character, if you had a name that we knew, if it was a character name, we actually heard a character say out loud, you had a substantial part in it. You had a storyline, you had an arc. You weren't just somebody that was, being a punk.
There were just other characters that were interesting.
Yeah.
Other than Sabrina. And there's not anybody interesting on Sabrina on Wednesday other than Wednesday.
Yeah. And they were really smart with how they did Sabrina and that they took a cue from Buffy and Angel and they made it not just about the lead, even though the lead's name is on the title. It's just a smart way of doing things. You want to tell good stories or fun stories, you gotta keep the audience engaged. Keep talking about that one person over and over again. Who cares? Mork and Mindy. There's two names in that. They didn't always spend time with Mork and Mindy all the time.
There's never a Mindy episode.
Right. That's true.
They got Mindy on vacation with the girls up near Boulder. Quickly, do you know what started on Friday?
What started on Friday?
The Noir City Hollywood 2024 Film Fest.
Oh, yeah. We missed that. There was something else we missed last week, too.
It started. I mean, it's literally started. It's still going on this whole week.
No, I mean, we meant to pre-announce it.
Yeah. Well, you know why? Is because...
we were busy doing shit.
And who would have thought? You know, usually it happens in August, but this year it's happening in the end of March and into April.
large.
But yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff going on. Man, there's a lot of good movies this week, but you know, and they're double featured.
March.
With lots. Yeah, man. Go. See. Dude, the original Nightmare Alley, they're doing on Nitrate next Saturday.
Oh, dude. I heard that they unearthed the print of that. That must be the one I've been hearing about.
Yeah. I mean, and dude, I mean, these movies, holy shit, dude, I could fucking sit and watch every fucking one of them if I had the time. But I mean, they're screening Rififi and The Narrow Margin, the original Narrow Margin together. We're getting Bitter Rice and Thieves Highway, another Jules Dassin movie, you know, that doesn't get as much play as Rififi or Night in the City, or not Night in the City. Yeah, Night in the City.
Yeah.
Blaze Samurai, I think, closes out the festival next Sunday. But yeah, it's a good run. If you're in Hollywood, if you live here in LA, all at the Egyptian Theater, now that they've cleaned up the mess from the Oscars, it's not so horrible to get there. Get your tickets.
So Warriors 4K on Arrow from Arrow is coming out. This is just the standard edition. You don't have to buy the big box.
Now, is that the please tell me it's the theatrical, it's the original cut, not that terrible fucking comic book one, you know, the one that has all of the, when they fade into comic panels, because that one is really hard to get through.
I haven't seen the review on it yet, so I don't know.
I'm guessing it's probably the original, I would imagine. Not that.
Because this is the standard edition. They had a deluxe one that came out a little while back. So I'm guessing if we had gotten the non-theatrical version, I think we would have heard about it by now. Just a guess. Oh, I'm going to get the deluxe right now. I can confirm. Oh, there's two cuts on it.
Okay. I figured they'd probably give you both.
Yeah. At least it's on the box set. I don't know if it's like that on the other one.
Because somehow, like if I was to go out and dig through the boxes in my garage, the only version of the Warriors I have is that one, the one that I don't like. I think I must have picked it up, and I don't know what happened to the original one, but I wanted to watch it the other day, and I was like, oh man, all I have is this. All I had is that one. So yeah, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll have to pick that up. Sounds like something I could, or maybe I'll stream it first. I think it's on Paramount Plus.
Wait, is it?
I think so. Warriors is streaming on Paramount Plus.
I want to check to see if it's 4K. Oh, no, it's not.
It's okay. I don't know that I'd want to see. I don't know that I'd want to see it in 4K.
Not the part about it that when I hit play, I'll just show the trailer because it was super grainy trailer. You know how it is all the old film.
As it should be.
Yeah.
That's how that movie should be seen. I don't need to see it cleaned up so much that it looks like it's shot on video.
Oh, no, it's not that. It was even, you can get cleaned up stuff and still have the grain, but this was like those trailers that look like.
Yes.
Even when you go to, like, you see it in New Beverly now, it's what it looks like.
It looks like the trailers they used to put on VHS tapes.
So, what else?
There are two things. My Hollow Man steelbook finally showed up.
Oh, my
yesterday.
God, yes. I'll put a picture on
the
Patreon.
The holy grail of steelbooks. And then, dude, speaking of VHS, I went with Johannes Roberts the other night. We went to see Assault on Precinct 13 at Vidiot's. And what the fuck? What a great movie. I hadn't seen it, but I realized I had not seen it since probably the 80s, out in VHS. I'd never seen it on DVD or so. Probably 35 years since I'd seen that movie. And yeah. I'd never seen it, obviously never seen it in a big screen because I was way too young. But holy shit, dude, what a fucking great movie, man. I never think of it when I think of, like, you know, when people ask me, what's my favorite Carpenter movie? That might've snuck into the top five.
It's funny how that is, right? It's like, I find myself these days, if somebody asks me the question, I dig deep. And then with something like that, I surprise people when I say Starman, like on the other end, because people forget about it.
Starman or Prince of Darkness or, you know, In the Mouth of Madness or Memoirs of an Invisible Man.
What are those movies?
Yeah, no shit. Open your fucking Blu-rays.
I was going to watch it last week while Melody and Joey were gone. And Winston was such a fucking handful. I couldn't even fucking find it. I couldn't stay awake.
Yeah, you really have to watch in them. You have to pay attention to In the Mouth of Madness. Well, actually, both of them, because there's so much weird shit going on. You kind of, otherwise, you're like, what the fuck is happening? But Assault on Precinct 13, the other sort of bonus was that synth history was there, which you know, is you're a big fan of.
I love synth history.
Yeah, it was so cool, man. They did a nice intro to the movie, and then they had recorded an intro for everybody who was there with John, and they introduced his new music video. Like the crew, the DP, and stuff that had shot the video were there, you know. And it was a nice little sort of Q&A with Carpenter talking about Assault on Precinct 13 and, you know, the struggles and how it came about and how they made it. And it's crazy, dude, that they shot that movie for $100,000.
I know.
$100,000 in 1976.
You think it's a typo?
It's wild, man. I mean,
yeah.
What I had no idea of was that fucking Apollo Creed's manager was,
yeah,
that Tony Burton was the other inmate who's locked in the cage, who's locked in with him. No idea. I don't know that I guess, like I said, hadn't seen it since VHS days. I was, holy shit, this is the same year as Rocky. What the fuck is happening?
Right. when we had Brent Simons on, I think it came up at one point, but it got cut because it was, I think we were just rambling about Tony and where he was at in his career at this point. It wasn't the moment where we were talking about Tony sitting there watching Rocky work out on the local news. He was sitting in front of the TV, all skeevy.
Yeah, when he's sitting there like with his shirt open and shit. Yeah.
Yeah,
it takes me right there. Dude, that was the first thing I thought of when I saw him show up, because his shirt's unbuttoned, like when they bring him out, you know, when they're getting him on the bus and they're chained together and he's like, hey, you got a smoke? And he's like, if I did. And he's like, but his shirt, I was like, holy shit, dude. It made me laugh. I unintentionally laughing out loud. But I will say this, dude. What do you think there was the audience reaction when Kim Richards got shot in Assault on Precinct 13? Watching it in a theater full of adults, people who had seen the movie before, and probably maybe 40 people who hadn't seen the movie. What do you think happened at the moment Kim Richards got shot?
I don't know.
The audience burst into laughter.
Wow.
Weird. It was very weird.
Like, it was like, weird. See, I wouldn't have thought that.
Not just like, you know, not like, oh, not like uncomfortable laughter, just people laughed out loud. It was so fucking weird, dude.
That is weird.
But goddamn, dude, it's such a brutal moment, too. It's like, so yeah, I was kind of like, oh, maybe it was that uncomfortable laughter, but thinking about it, it was like, it was not uncomfortable laughter. People just sort of laughed out loud because I guess it's, maybe they laugh because it's the kind of thing that people just wouldn't do in a movie now. It doesn't happen. You know what I mean? You don't get that, but. Yeah, man. What a fucking crazy. And the score. Holy shit, dude. That synth score. And they talked to, when they talked to Carpenter, he was talking about how he recorded it. You know, he had one day to record all that. And he did it down at USC.
Yeah.
With the guy, I forget his name, but the synth professor. It was super interesting. You know, I learned things I didn't know. Like, he scored that whole movie in a day and he scored Halloween in 3 days.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that because, like, when we were talking about the budget for Assault, I'm like, yeah, what was the budget on Halloween? And I had no idea. Well, I mean, I'm sure it did at one point, but it slipped my mind. Yeah, 300. So he needed triple the budget, and then he needed triple the time to do the score. Now, it's like, I love the score on Assault. I think it's really good. I mean, it's great that synth history is there for a lot of reasons from time to that. And that's back when, if you had a whole bunch of synthesizers in your score in 1976, you had to have a giant room just to have
them.
They're fucking huge.
Yeah.
I'm bummed that I missed out on any of those live Carpenter shows that he's done where he's up there with his kid. He puts on a great show. They have a great projection and light shows usually tied to these.
Yeah. That music video is fun.
Yeah. I'll post that too. So,
yeah, they should link up. There's a link to that new album too, because it's pretty dope. I listened to it on the ride home after the theater. That, and you know, I put on a John Carpenter playlist, starting with it kind of just kind of jumped around. So I kind of want to go back and revisit it. But everything I heard was good. You know,
I mean, maybe I'll make a John Carpenter.
Yeah, John Carpenter's synth playlist.
Playlist, and because he did a couple of remixes for churches too for their last album, Screen Violence, that are great. It's cool hearing his influence on other synth artists. I think that's pretty cool. Especially ones that were doing a concept album surrounding like a genre of movies and stuff, like Screen Violence is. So if you guys are, I, you know, put them in the show notes, but Synth History is an online newsletter, but also a podcast. They have a great recent interview with Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo, composer extraordinaire. I always feel that Mark doesn't get the kind of love that Danny Elfman does. But I think he deserves it because I think his body of work is far more vast than Danny's. And I'm not taking a shot at Elfman because I think he's great. I'm just saying I think Mark always takes a back seat, even though his work is far more prolific. But I think maybe because he's a synth player. I don't know. Who knows? But anyway, synth history, if you're totally nerdy about synths, I promise you, you will be humbled even if you think you consider yourself really knowledgeable about synthesizers. You're going to get humbled because there's some real nerd action there that I'm like, some of the stuff I skip over, I'm like, once I get like five words into a paragraph and if I only recognize one word, then I stop reading.
Right.
I don't want to get a dictionary out too to figure out what the fuck you're saying.
Now, let me just verify that My Name is Death is on Spotify. I think the rest of it, I think it's on vinyl though. I think Lost Themes for the Noir, I think you can buy it on vinyl, but I don't know that it's all available to stream.
Oh no, there's a CD version of it.
Yeah, but I don't know that it's streamable. I think.
Because it's not out till May.
Yeah. So only this single. I just want to clarify that when I said I listened to it on the way home, I started with Salt on Precinct 13 and it went into that. And then it just went into the John Carpenter playlist that exists on Spotify.
Yeah. If you're already on that John Carpenter playlist on Spotify, they'll just add to it. They're pretty good about updating those things. But yeah, so Lost Themes for Noir hits on May 3rd. Last year, they released the anthology too, which is the 76 through 88 release that came out last October. That is available still on vinyl and CD, and you can stream those as well. What's funny with Lost Themes, with the new one, they're putting out a cassette version.
Mm. That's kind of fantastic. Cool. It's weird, but yeah. They're
finding something to play that on.
But yeah, no shit. Fuck.
Anyway, good stuff. I adore John's work so much.
Yeah, and dude, it's fun. Yeah. Super fun. Yeah, I got to get out and see. I got a deep dive synth history. I mean, I'm not as familiar with it as you are, but but talking with them at the in the lobby before the show and then getting their whole spiel. It was good, man. So, yeah, I mean, something new. See, that's why you got to go out and go to live theater, man. See movies in a theater, especially if you live here. There's always some kind of cool bonus thing that happens. Something you're not, you'll never be disappointed.
Yeah. Cool. There you go.
All right.
Yeah. If you want to follow us on the socials, it's at Karate Pod on Twitter, Insta, and Letterboxd. You follow Corey and Letterboxd and Corey _ Culp and Insta on Culper97. And if you want to support the show on Patreon and get those new episodes that drop on Wednesday on Patreon, and then Friday you get the public release, that's patreon.com/karatepod.
If you'd like to follow me, you can follow me at rockandroller33 on your Instagram. Or you can follow me at... Where can you follow me? I forget. Oh, Jesus Christ. You can follow me at Ethan Bishop, Napoleon Wilson at letterboxd.com. Or you can follow me at The Real John Ladd on... Blue Sky. That's The Real John Ladd at Blue Sky and Napoleon Wilson at Letterboxd.